Hello and welcome to the final NWSL preview show for Women's Soccer Zone. My name is Kieran Tavam and again I'm joined by my friend on the east coast of the United States, JJ Duke. JJ, you alright mate?
Yeah, this is it. It seems like we've only just begun it, yeah?
Well, this is it, but also it means that we are very close to the start of the season and that is where the excitement comes from. That is where we will be spending most of our time over the coming months covering this league and the 10 clubs that we love to follow over the next few months. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun. But the last show focuses on the Washington Spirit. Now, they've been in the headlines a lot in the off-season. I don't want this to be overly negative because actually there are a lot of positives that we can try and focus on in the Spirit organisation. Let's get the bad stuff out of the way first. And I think we've got to talk about the mass exodus of players. That has come off the back of a championship game where they lost out narrowly to the Western New York Flash on penalties. In most people's mind, you would expect a lot of those players to want to hang around and see if they can go one better and overcome that final hurdle and try and win a championship game. It hasn't happened. They've lost pretty much half of a first team. Not great in terms of going into a new season trying to replicate what they did last year.
Nope. Not at all. I mean, you just look at the names. So you have Steffi Bonini, 5 goals and an assist gone. Crystal Dunn, I don't think we need to talk about any of her stats, gone. You have Allie Krieger, again, don't need to talk about her stats, gone. Megan Oyster, gone to Boston. Christine Nairn has been the rock for that team for the past 3 seasons, no longer with the team. I mean, if I'm forgetting anybody, that's my apologies at the moment. But yeah, I mean,
look, Diana Matheson as well.
Oh yeah, and Diana Matheson, excuse me, yeah, gone. I mean, look, that's rough. That would be a cause of concern for any team. If you lose 3 of those players, that'd be a concern. You lose all six of those players that we mentioned, boy, you're gonna have a tough job putting together a really good team next year. But, as you said, we're not going to focus on the negative. We're going to focus on the positive. I think Jim Gabarri, he hasn't found all the right pieces to that puzzle, but he's done a good job of getting some of them.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you're absolutely right. We don't want it to be too negative because, at the end of the day, these are supposed to be some kind of, you know, for a lot of people, it's lighthearted listening. And the last thing we want to do is depress Washington Spirit fans for 15 minutes talking about how bad things are. But at the same time, we don't want to sugarcoat things. You know, players have left. We know that there was some stuff that went on off the field last year with the Megan Rapinoe situation. That didn't help the club. It didn't bring particularly good PR their way. But look, we're into a new season, so let's focus on what the roster they have now. We've talked about the players they've lost. They still have an international goalkeeper and a classy one at that in Stephanie Labbé. They've got plenty of depth in certain areas. They've still got plenty of good defenders in the likes of Whitney Church, who of course played in that championship game against the Western New York Flash. They've still got the likes of Estelle Johnson and Shalina Zdorsky, brought in Cassie Coleman from the Boston Breakers involving the Megan Oyster trade. Caprice Didasco is recovering from ACL surgery. There's still some good players in that back line, and with a goalkeeper like Labbé, there's still promise in terms of trying to have a pretty solid back line.
I mean, those are solid names across the board. I mean, you know what you're going to get. I think the last couple of years we've seen Whitney Church's star grow. I think Cassie Coleman, I said in the Boston preview, and I'm going to say it here, I think a little bit hard done on where she was in that situation with the Breakers. I think she's a very, very good defender, whether you post her as a center half or move her perhaps a little bit out wide. Great, great ability. Shalina Zdorsky has really come onto the stage or thrust herself onto the stage with the national team and is contributing not only for Canada but as well for the Spirit. And as you said, with Labbé and goal, you've always got a chance. So I think the back five is not an issue, even with the loss of Krieger there. You're going to be okay.
Yeah, Krieger and Oyster. I think, as we've said on a number of occasions over these previews, your first line of defense is absolutely fine. It's if you start to get injuries and suspensions and you're looking at what depth you have available. I wonder if, like a few other teams, maybe they lack a little bit of depth in that area. But, you know, they still have enough quality there to be able to be competitive. Looking at the midfield, you know, they've lost Nerin, they've lost Matheson, but they still have a player like Joanna Lohmann who is going to run through brick walls for you for 90 minutes. They have Tori Huster, who has been there since day one. They've brought in Christy Mewis, who, we were saying before we came onto recording, if Christy can find the form that she had, I think probably in Kansas City. I don't think we ever saw the best of her in Boston, but I think we saw a very, very good player in Kansas City, and obviously was highly rated in the colleges. She was drafted very high when she came into the NWSL. You have some quality in that midfield as well, don't you? Maybe not at the consistent level of maybe what we've seen with a Matheson or a Nerin, but maybe something that's a little bit, you know, let's wait and see kind of situation. We don't really know what we're going to get from some of this Washington positions, and I guess the midfield would be one of those.
Yeah, I think it's always going to be a see how the team gels type thing, you know. How can you work with each other's strengths, and who can cover which player's weaknesses to then not only make it work on the field, but then help each other off the field to turn those weaknesses into strengths. I mean, that's kind of just elementary statements, but it can be found here. You talked about Mewis, and I think you're spot on by saying we didn't see anywhere near the best of her up in Boston. I know on and off a little bit injured at times, maybe out of favor of the coaches that were there, but she's a player, and I like the way that you put it, Kieran, when we were talking off the air. She didn't get caps with the national team without something going for her. She is a very, very good player, and I think if she can revitalize herself in Washington, she can do wonders there. One of those players I'm curious to see as well, Havana Solon in the midfield. Now, this is a technical player that I know Laura Harvey had very high hopes for her. In Seattle, then, you know, right before the season started 2 years ago, she goes down with an injury, done for the year. Last year, really kind of just feeling her way back into the game, and it ended up being a numbers game that worked against her favor and sent her to Washington. But now, playing on a grass surface, playing with somewhat familiar faces, she has Maggie Doherty Howard, a draft pick that's going to be there with her. In DC, you never know. Things might turn out for the positive.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. I think there's, as I said, there's still plenty there to be positive about. I mentioned Jo Lohmann will run through brick walls for you for 90 minutes. A leader, someone who will expect very high standards from her teammates around her. And I've no doubt that she will, when the going gets tough, she will be the one that rolls her collar up and rolls her sleeves up and gets everyone going, because she is one of those types of players. And, you know, moving on to the forward line, look, there's still some good players in that forward line. We've seen Francisca Ortega, how dangerous she can be. We've seen Shayna Williams, a lot of pace coming from her. Katie Stengel, again, has gone down to the W League and played in Australia. They brought in Ariel Shipp as part of the trade with the Seattle Reign. There's some players there that could potentially fire them to some victories. I just wonder if there is the kind of world-class forward that maybe some of the other teams have lacking in this Spirit side, and I do wonder where maybe the goals are going to come from.
Well, I think it's going to be goal scoring by committee. I know that with Stengel before last year coming over from Bayern, got a lot of world-class tutelage with playing under that team. Now, it's not to say that she didn't have a bad year last year in her first campaign in this league, because she had 4 goals and an assist, mostly used as a spot starter and a key impact sub. But this could be a year where she can turn a game if needs to. She can play both as a target striker as well as a good, you know, front to goal technical striker. You talk with Ortega's such great strength and agility. I mean, that player, if you need a clutch goal, as we saw in the playoffs last year, she can get the job done. Lindsay Agnew as well, a draft pick that really flew under the radar, but she's getting looks from Canada. Very solid 4 years with the Ohio State University. And you, Ariel Shipp as well on the trade with Seattle after the draft. I mean, these are a lot of players that I think they're almost going to kind of take the moniker that Sky Blue last year had, and a lot of people are going to count them out. So how are you going to motivate yourself to, you know, kind of quiet some of those critics? And well, maybe if they do that, they might have a good chance.
Well, that was going to be my next question. You know, there are, I think, speaking to a lot of different people, individuals who are tipping Washington, no doubt, to finish bottom of the pile, to finish 10th, to be the Boston Breakers of this 2017 campaign. What can we say to Washington Spirit fans who are listening to this to try and prove those individuals wrong? What can we say that they have to cling on to that could see Washington Spirit do a Sky Blue and actually finish a lot higher than we expect them to?
You know, I think, again, they have to find something within them to generate that successful look. At the same time, we haven't even mentioned the fact that Jim Guevara is a world-class coach.
He is.
In the sense that he has gotten teams into the playoffs, and obviously last year he got them to the championship and was a few seconds away from winning that championship in extra time. So that doesn't come, you know, just out of thin air. He knows how to get something out of his team. Now, they were a bit defensive last year at times before hitting on teams with the counter. Maybe you have to rely on it this year. You might have to win a lot of 1-0 score lines, but you know what? No one's going to remember how you won those games as long as you win the game. So maybe he uses the defense to his strength and try to get that pace out wide with Ortega, amongst others, to his advantage. Maybe he tries to go at teams. We're not going to know much until that opening match of the year.
No, without a doubt. And I think what we learned last year, especially in that championship final, never try and guess what Jim Guevara has up his sleeve, because that free back that he played in the final was something that we hadn't seen really all season, and it really did kind of come out of the blue. So I'm sure he has some things up his sleeve and certainly has some plans for how he makes this team competitive. But I think there's some positives there, without a doubt. Look, they have some quality in there, no doubt. As I said, depth could be an issue. But how many times have we used that on these previews? You know, there are areas in certain teams where depth is deep, and there are some areas in clubs where they are lacking, and that is going to be across the board. So I think Washington fans can maybe be cautiously optimistic is probably the term that I would use. It wouldn't surprise me if Washington do finish low down, but it also wouldn't surprise me if they defy the odds and maybe prove a few of us wrong. But we'll have to wait and see. But I think on that note, mate, we will wrap up our little preview of the Washington Spirit. And after this break, we will bring you an interview with a member of the Spirit's roster.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
Okay, so welcome back to our Washington Spirit NWSL preview. And on the line now, I have a former guest on the show. She's been on multiple times. We've spoken to her while she was out in Japan. We've spoken to her while she was in Boston. Now she's based in Washington, D.C. We have Christy Mewis on the show. Christy, how are you?
I'm good, Kieran. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Hat-trick appearance. We'll have to send you some sort of award in the post for a third appearance, but you name your price and we'll send it your way. We're talking about the upcoming season for the Spirit, but I guess the best way to kick off would be to find out how preseason is going.
Yeah, preseason's going great. Obviously, it's a grind, but it's a grind for everybody. And obviously the weather hasn't been that friendly to us, but we're getting through it, and it's just building our character, so we're having fun with it.
Talk a little bit about what it's like for a player coming into preseason when you've not played for a little while. Obviously, some of your teammates, some of the players in the NWSL go down to the Australian W League, for example. And then there are players like yourself who decide to maybe take the winter off and prepare in your own way. How difficult is it when you come in to preseason with the fitness testing and everything else that comes with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely tough. But, you know, the past couple of off seasons, I have gone overseas and I have done that whole experience. But this year I kind of wanted to try something new, focus on specific things. You know, I was able to train with like a boys team and a couple of men's intramural like groups while living in Boston. But I really just wanted to hone in and focus on certain things. So I thought that the best thing for me to do was to just stay at home and really like narrow down what I wanted to get better at, what I wanted to work on. So I think it helped. And obviously the girls who went overseas, I'm sure that they had, you know, a great off season too. And it sounds like they had a lot of fun and had a lot of great games over there in Australia. So this year I kind of just chose to stay back, and I think it really helped me, and I was able to focus on what I wanted to focus on.
You mentioned there the fact that you trained with the boys team and the men's team, and we hear quite often about scrimmages that you guys have against boys teams and the benefits that comes with that. What benefit did you find training with men and boys over the winter period? How's it different? How does it differ to what you're used to normally?
Yeah, well, so I was with a U18 boys club team, and there's such a big difference from like a U16 boys team to a U18 boys team. So, you know, they're so much bigger, like they're out of their awkward stage, and they're so much bigger and so much faster. So it kind of just forces you to play quick, because if you take more than, you know, one or two touches, they're just gonna just walk by and take it away from you. So I think just the quickness and like the level of speed and intensity was definitely hard to adjust to, but I think it just made me that much better of a player. And then I did like a men's like little scrimmage thing that it's just like something that they throw together. So playing with like older guys who can't really rely on their bodies anymore. They're just so mentally strong and so smart. So even though they can't move that well, like the U18 boys, they're still super smart. So kind of playing with those two different groups was a really big benefit for me.
And then obviously you come in to Washington, D.C., a new start for you, leaving your hometown of Boston. Obviously you started out in FC Kansas City, then made the move over to Boston. A little bit of insight into the thinking behind a new challenge in D.C., because it must have been difficult to leave home.
Yeah, it was definitely hard to leave home. You know, there's obviously that sense of loyalty that I have to Boston, just because that's the city where I grew up. That's the city where I went to college. But I think, you know, I had been there for 3 years and struggled a bit there. So I thought it was time for a change. And, you know, I couldn't be happier to be here in Washington, you know, like a finalist for the NWSL championship. It's like a dream come true to be able to play on a team with such high standards and a team that made it to the finals. So I'm really just looking forward to having a great, successful year here and just putting all my eggs in the basket and gonna go for it.
And Jim Gabara, obviously very highly thought of, very highly respected in the NWSL. How's it been early days working with him?
It's been good. It's definitely taking some getting used to, just because of the style of play, but I mean, clearly he's had success with it, so I think I just need to adjust my game a little bit and really buy into what his style of play is and the way he wants to play. So I think if all of us can get on the same page with that, then there's no reason that we can't be another one of the best teams this year.
Kind of in a similar situation maybe to what you're in Boston, where it's a team that's going through a little bit of transition, a little bit of rebuilding. We've seen a number of players come out. We've seen players like yourself and Cassie came over from Boston with you. What's the kind of mood in the camp going into the new season with the new players and obviously the ones that are existing?
Yeah, you know, there's a bunch of people who were here last year, but then there's also a bunch of people who weren't here last year. So it's kind of a good mix. We have a lot of people who are experienced, but then a lot of people who are bringing new things, new energy. It's good to have new faces. And I think we're going to come out really well. I'm actually really excited to see how we do with these next two preseason games and then obviously the first game. against the Carolina Courage. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different team than last year, but I don't really see a reason why we can't be just as good as they were last year.
And you had an opening preseason victory, and I believe you scored in that game. How was that to be involved, and what do you think you learned from that opening preseason fixture?
I came in and I was able to, you know, play with some of the girls, and it was kind of like my first real 11v11 scrimmage in a couple months, even though obviously I was doing some things in the off season, but it was just good to come out and like really get a good 11v11 run in, and playing with new faces and people with, you know, new skills and new thoughts on the field was really cool. And I think it went really well for our first preseason game.
Now, you were drafted third overall in the very first NWSL college draft back in 2013. So you've been in the league since its inception. What's kind of the major differences that you've seen in the league in the 4 years? We're obviously going into the fifth season in 2017. What's kind of the notable differences that you've seen from the moment that you stepped out on the field with FC KC to where you are now?
I think it's just becoming a more professional league. Everything's kind of falling into place. Like, yeah, the first couple of years, some things were up, some things were down. You know, teams would have problems and stuff like that. Some things were disorganized. But year by year, it's got so much better. We have more fans now. We have better facilities now. There's so much that is just growing. And now, obviously, we have a TV deal with Lifetime, which is just amazing. All of us are so excited about that. So I think it's getting better and better. And it's kind of a league. We obviously want to become, like, the best league in the world. So more players are coming over to play. And that's obviously inevitably our goal, is we want to be the best league in the world. So I'm really glad to be a part of that.
Well, you were at that launch, weren't you, in New York for the Lifetime announcement. Talk about what it was like to be involved in that and what you feel it means for the league to have a recognized deal for a broadcaster or with a broadcaster, and, you know, now potentially reaching out to a new audience as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just so special. It's an honor to be a part of it. It's an honor to be a part of Lifetime. I think it's so amazing that it kind of like just gives you like a sense of humility and just kind of honor. Like, I'm so honored to be playing for them because they're willing to invest in us. So it's just really special to be a part of, and just really excited about it, and I can't wait to be able to watch our games on Lifetime.
Well, I guess final one from me. You were quite open a few minutes ago saying that the time in Boston, you maybe struggled a little bit. How big a year is it for you personally with the start or the fresh start in DC? We've obviously seen you in the past gain national team honours and, you know, as I said, drafted very highly in the first NWSL college draft back in 2013. How important is this year for Christy Mewis, and how big an opportunity is it to showcase what clearly the talent that you have in a new team and a new environment?
Yeah, I think obviously the past couple of years have been hard for me soccer-wise. Just being in Boston, we obviously weren't able to be very successful. And then, you know, I had a couple injuries last year. So it's definitely been hard to, you know, keep my confidence up and keep my spirits high. Just kind of going through these last couple of years, but I really took this off season to reevaluate and take care of my body and recover. And, just kind of, I have like a new fresh outlook on, you know, what I want, what my goals are. So obviously I do want to eventually make it back on the national team. So I'm going to do everything in my power to help this team be successful. And I just really want to have my best NWSL season yet. So I'm just really looking forward to the start. I'm like really eager to get going.
Well, we wish you well with that. And of course, we always welcome you on the show. Thank you very much, as always, Christy, for joining us, guys. Thank you for tuning in to this Washington Spirit preview. Keep an eye out for the other previews that we have on womenssoccerzone.com and on iTunes. And until next time, we will speak to you soon. Bye-bye.